You just gotta wake up one morning, man, and just come to the conclusion. You gotta look yourself in the mirror and just say, my nigga, I ain't eating, my nigga.
I ain't eating.
Wait, what you mean you ain't?
Come on, preacher. Bullshit.
Everybody eats, B.
You gonna eat, my nigga.
You know God made black beautiful. Black and strong, strong.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to another episode of Growing Up Black. You know, I'm Kyle Davey. Thank you for joining in again. And I have a very, very, very special guest today, Miss Jessica Vias, who is, very interestingly enough, my ex-girlfriend. And this is going to be a very interesting podcast. I like to put myself in uncomfortable situations, right? And in the process, I think I make other people force themselves to put them in other uncomfortable positions as well. And I think that's what we're going to do today. The primary topic that I originally thought about was talk about breakups. And this was based on a video that I saw. I don't remember the video. It might have been a BuzzFeed video, but it was when like these two people who were together for some time, they broke up, and then they got them back together for the video to just talk about, you know, their relationships and everything like that. And it seemed like a very vulnerable experience. And like you guys know, that's kind of what this whole podcast is supposed to be about. It's about focusing on the vulnerabilities of people's experiences, what the things that we face as people of color. And one of the most intimate points of that is, like, you know, relationships and long-term relationships. So me and Jess were together for 2 years. And then we separated. That sounds like a divorce. But yeah, so that's kind of what the premise of this was. And I want to thank Jess in advance for agreeing to do this. So yeah, hopefully it will be a great listen. And we're just going to jump right in. So what's up, Jess? How you doing today?
I'm good. You good?
You're awake. Are you sure?
Nervous.
Nervous? Why are you nervous? Let's talk about that. Why are you nervous?
Because we're talking about breakups. Like, it's one, you were my first real relationship, my first love, and it's something I'm still working to get through a year and something later.
And why do you think that is? Like, why do you think you're still working through it?
I think it's just because after we separated, broke up, whatever term you want to use, I kind of forced myself to just get really busy and focus on other things that I had going on. So DR, whatever I was doing while I was out in the DR, then getting ready for graduation, and the whole time it was just kind of like, yeah, I'm working to get through this like one day at a time type of thing. But I still had to kind of find myself in the places that I felt comfortable in the spaces that I could inhabit. I think without having that, like, oh, Kyle's girlfriend or Kyle's ex-girlfriend thing still attached to me for a really long time, which is, again, why I couldn't, like, get myself to live in the house. I couldn't be around the apartments that much. Like, didn't really want to do the dance thing again because I needed to find me. And it's just now that, like, okay, college is done with and I have, like, my place, I have a job, and I'm doing all these other things that I get to, one, see all the growth that happened throughout the relationship, and then the growth that came after, and it's still coming.
So, when you say that title of Kyle's ex-girlfriend or Kyle's girlfriend, like, did you place that upon yourself after the fact, or was it like other people were placing that on you, or you thought other people were placing that on you?
I think it was both. Like, the younger classes that definitely only knew you. Because, I mean, who didn't really know you? I was like, oh, Kyle's girlfriend or the girl that
also,
you
Also, Jess is making me seem like Mr. Popular.
You
I'm
were!
Not, I'm not really.
No.
I
no.
don't think.
You were.
I don't think that's an accurate view. but we can. That's
we'll
debatable.
With that.
That's debatable.
No. There was that, and then it was just like, even people that knew me only by association, it was like, oh, you were with Kyle, or oh, I thought you graduated, like, because of Kyle. No. Like, I'm a 15, doesn't go here anymore. And then it was just me, too, like, because you said we were together, like, 2 years. So whatever started between us my freshman year for, like, us to break up going into senior year made it be, like, you're about to have a completely different like experience for what is your senior year. So I had to figure out what I needed or wanted that to be.
So there's a lot of background story to everything. So I'm trying to like not confuse the people as we jump into this. So me and Jess met her freshman year, my sophomore year, a little bit into it. Like I was abroad and then I came back and then I met her, top of 2012.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And then we didn't start going out like officially until September of that year. And so that's just a little bit of backstory. And basically to the decision to kind of end things was on me, because I just felt like I wasn't at a place in life where I wanted to be in terms of my own happiness. And I didn't want that to affect Jess's life. And I to be like completely honest, I think that we both still needed to grow a lot more individually before we could jump into anything serious. And I thought it would be selfish of me to ask somebody to stay and wait for me and wait for me to figure things out while I was trying to figure out myself, right? Like, I think it's kind of selfish for me to say, all right, this is going to be a huge whirlwind. So stick around and stay tuned and find out on the next episode of Dragon Ball Z. Like, you know, like you never really know what's going to happen. And to be honest, it's like a selfless thing, and it's a very selfish move on my end, I think, in terms of wanting that, because in doing something like that, you're choosing to end something that two people enter together, and it's been for so long and it's so intimate. You get so close to each other that it's a hard thing to do, and it's a hard thing to say out loud, and then it's a hard thing to accept in the long run. So I guess how did you first deal with it, like deal with the breakup?
First deal with it?
Yeah.
Other than those hours of crying, or what felt like hours of crying in your house. Really, really sad and pathetic moment. But the flight to DR was really rough. The first one. So from New York to Miami, I was one of those sad burrito things. Like, you see those things on Tumblr? It's going to be like, I'm going to go be a sad burrito thing. I took out the blanket that I had in my backpack, wrapped myself in it, because I happened to like have a row to myself in the airplane. First time that's happened. Wrapped myself in it and just like bawled / knocked out for the flight. Done. The flight attendant had to wake me up when we got to Miami, and then I was just kind of like, did that happen? Did it really happen? Because I had already texted you before I took off, and I was still trying to process it. I think I had texted or called Dani before then, and then I had to call my dad, and that's when it got really rough, because I was waiting for the flight from Miami to the DR. I'm sitting there being like, one, I'm not going to be really calling my dad that much because it'll be FaceTime if anything. And I felt like I needed to let him know, because it's something that he had kind of like warned me about. Like, part of him felt like something was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And he had tried telling me this before. I'm just one of those like, I want you to be like prepared. I want you to like kind of know what might be happening, know how to take things. Because he's always asking about you.
Mm-hmm.
So when I called him, and then I was like maybe 20 seconds into the call, and like I like broke down while I was talking to him, because one, I needed to say it in Spanish. I needed it to feel comfortable for me. It was like kind of downhill, and then it was a lot of crying. But I think after that, once I got to the DR, I kind of had to like straighten up. I didn't really want to talk about it, pretended like nothing was happening, lived with my roommates, did all the work, and then at night is when it'd be really rough, because I felt like I needed to talk to somebody, or I needed to write, couldn't really write. That's when Tumblr pretty much became my diary.
Mm-hmm.
That point, because I just needed to get things out. But it helped for me to be away and to not have to deal with it at school right from the beginning. I leaned on my brother and my dad a lot while I was going through it, which was really, really helpful because they were just understanding. Mad, yes, but very understanding. And one of the girls who happened to be my roommate out there, Joanie, she was literally like my saving grace. She's 26, and she turned 26 while we were out there, and she just kind of helped me see things from like a different perspective and then just kind of talk things out. It also helped. She was a therapist.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That helped.
Yeah.
Wait, and see things in a different way, like how, like what did she say that you think stuck with you?
I think it wasn't so much like what she said, but it was just kind of like me reiterating your reasons. And then like, again, it's not like I ever doubted your reasons or anything, but it was just still really hard to hear. And then kind of like going it through my head, like maybe like what happened or like why that came about and how things happened, is what I was trying to do. And like I talked to her about, but also I was out in the DR. So like going to the beach and like giving myself that time, or taking it while I was with the girls, like kind of working to accept it. Cause I mean, I turned 21, and for them it was really awkward to see a girl or a woman who's 21, who's not married, who doesn't have kids. They would ask all the time, like, where is your husband? Where are your kids? Do you have any type of thing?
And you're talking about men in the DR.
No, I'm talking about the girls, the ones that I worked with, like the 8 to 14 year olds that I was working with.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right.
Yeah. I'd ask all the time, and I think it was just those things where I was like, I had to kind of take and process and then just be like, well, this is kind of what things are right now.
But the other girls you worked with weren't married or
anything
like that either. No,
they were all coming from the U.S. But, like, even people that work there, like, one of the youngest workers, she was...
And this was part of Mariposa Foundation, too. I keep trying to interject and put in some details.
Details.
Because, you know, the world don't know her.
One of the youngest ones. She already had 2 children, and she was, like, younger than us. So the fact that they knew her as a girl that had started going through the program and then had 2 kids, children, yeah, was around their age and stuff like that, it was really strange for them to see us and not have that be a thing, especially as a Latina, because it was just like, oh, you're one of like the girls that's coming from the U.S.
Gotcha.
I wasn't brown, like blonde, blue-eyed. They were like, you look like you could be Dominican.
Gotcha.
You don't have kids. Like,
yeah, me too.
What? Until they talk to you and then you couldn't respond.
Whatever. I'm Dominican. See, I ask me to say God bless you.
Say it.
Que Dios te bendiga.
Okay.
Oh, nice. So them reminding you, I guess, of everything that just happened to that, did you think that made it easier to deal with because you were forced to confront it? Or do you think it made it harder?
I think both. It made it harder just because it felt like it was really soon. Like, after they would ask me those things, every now and then I have to be like, I'm gonna go to the restroom. Like, go to the restroom and just be like, take 10 seconds, use restroom, like, put water on my face type of thing, and then just kind of, like, go back and do work. But again, it's not like it was, like, malicious of them to ask or anything.
It just felt
like it at the time. Be like, they didn't know.
They
had just gone
through
a breakup, but to ask something like that, like, hurt. In terms of, like, my conversation with Johanneve, I think it did help me just, like, confront the situation and then just kind of see it as, like, well, those were your reasons. Like, I'm not going through this, et cetera. But, like, what do I need to get out of this? What do I need for me? And that's what she was helping me with.
And actually, another thing that comes up, I had a conversation, too, about, like, you know, how... men and women approach relationships like now, right? Especially in our age group. And somebody said something that was really interesting. It was like, well, men usually want to get to a certain level of their life before they choose to commit to one person. But women would much rather be a part of that journey of growth.
Yeah.
Right? And would you agree with that?
I think so. I think from my own experience, I mean, I've told you that. I've sent that to you before. It is. I can see that. And I think it's something that I've always really felt, like, even before when people bring up, like, oh, kids and marriage and all that other stuff. Like, the idea that at least I know most of the women in my life have is, like, you're with this person for a set number of years and you get to know them and you grow before you decide this is something that I want to do with you. Mm-hmm. Whether that be, like, 5, people joke about 10, whatever. Like, there is that. You're part of each other's journey. You see the good, the bad, the ugly, and you're there through it. Mm-hmm. And if you can make it through that, you know you can be with that person for what is the rest of your life, quote unquote.
Do you have people in your family that have been together, like, for that long? Like, forever?
I have people in my family that have been together, like, 25 years. Mm-hmm. Still going.
That's dope. Yeah, the only people I really have are my parents.
Your parents, yeah.
But, yeah, so, like, how are you now? In terms of life. Like, you're working now, you graduated.
Yes.
We're almost in the next year after your graduation.
Yeah. Feels really scary when I think about it. But.
You.
Yeah, I know. So, first year teacher, about 4 months in the game. I don't know, I feel like I'm tried multiple times every single day by my kids, but I really, really like them. I don't know if it's something I'm gonna do in Bridgeport or specifically for elementary, like once my 2 years of Teach for America are up, but I'm doing that. So that's my life, like my kids, the students, doing grad school. So working full time, doing school, and then just kind of, like, trying to give myself time for me. Like, the weekends are non-existent. I don't really do much. One, it doesn't feel like you have any time. Two, aside from lesson planning, grading, and homework, like, there's, what, maybe Saturday, and then you feel guilty for the rest of the week if you don't do work that Saturday and leave everything for Sunday. Because it just doesn't feel like you're doing enough for your kids, or you don't feel like you're doing them any justice. But then I feel like I keep neglecting myself because I'm really not doing anything for myself other than, like, sleeping, talking to my family every week for the most part. And that's it. Like, there's not that much. Every now and then I'll meet up with other people. Like, I'll go to New Haven or Norwalk and have get-togethers. But even then, put a bunch of teachers in the same room. We talk about our kids. We compare stories. We compare school lunches, school breakfasts.
So then what's your life then? Like, I mean, and that leads me into, like, my real question, which is more so, like, about your personal life rather
there
than, like,
isn't. I think that's the thing that, like, because I'm still so focused on everything else that I'm doing, like, that just kind of falls by the wayside.
Isn't that bad?
Yeah.
Like, you never, like, sit up and be like, you know, Netflix and chilling
by myself.
But it's not,
I don't know, it's just something that, like, when my, like, brothers mention it to me or my friends will ask, like, oh, what's the guy's situation, etc. And, like, I mean, I have friends, I talk to my friends regular basis, I guess texting, but even then, like, I don't feel like I'm ready to talk to anyone for something that could potentially lead to something else. Just because I'm not in that place, it's not something that I'm necessarily looking to invest my energy into.
And that's because you're focusing on, like, your professional life right now, or is that because you're still carrying baggage from...
It's both. Because I know I need to get to a certain place. Like, I need to finish really strong these 2 years so that I have a better idea of what it is that I'm doing. And, like, I can feel comfortable selling myself and, like, owning what is a classroom, etc. And finding the place that I want to be in. Yeah. So, like, what sphere of education I'm looking to be in. And part of that is me doing things like my Saturday morning, like, I'm at school. I'm with my kids. Or other people's, like, students and doing school events. And then another part is, yeah, that baggage that, like, I'm not ready or, I guess, haven't let go. I feel ways about that term, but I know it wouldn't be fair.
To that too. Yeah,
yeah, it wouldn't be fair of me to, like, start, I guess, talking to someone or trying to if that's kind of not where I'm going at the moment.
Now, when you say you haven't let go, what do you mean?
I think it's just one of those things where, like, okay, so the whole, like, love versus in love topic thing that I had to, like, work my way through, I guess.
So, to backtrack, because we got to explain that. I don't think I mentioned it before. So, when in the breakup conversation, I said something that I really do believe in. It's like, I think there's a big difference between having love for somebody and then being in love with them. And I think at that stage, I wasn't in love, but I have a lot of love for Jess, which makes these types of conversations and makes me see her, like, easier. Like, there's no animosity between us at all. And, like, it's interesting. I told people, like, I'm coming up to do this podcast. I'm coming up to record my girlfriend. And, like, then they're like, oh, stay safe. Block your chin. Like, somebody might start swinging. I'm like, but I don't think, and it's weird because nobody in my family ever has had that kind of relationship with a female, like, where it's, like, that detrimental where you can't be cordial or even, like, stay friends with somebody afterwards. And now, usually that's because people have had kids with their, significant other.
Okay.
But I'm also not that type of malicious dude, I don't think. And Jess isn't like that. Otherwise, like, I wouldn't have been with her in the first place, right? But I always is, like, the stigma, like, your ex is some evil thing. But it's like, why would you have wasted that time in the first place?
Yeah.
If that was the case, right? But that's just an interesting aside that, you know, I think a lot of people just don't understand that I can still have these kinds of conversations and it's not super awkward, right? It's not hard. It's not difficult. I mean, it's difficult because of the topic, right? It's difficult.
Well, it depends. Yeah. This is a conversation, like, a year later. Had you asked me to do this while I was still at Dartmouth, you wouldn't have gotten a response.
I mean, yeah, of course. Like, the time, I think time is a big thing, right? Time is a big thing about healing, right? And I think, we did touch on that too, right? Like, you say you're still working through it.
Yeah.
And you're still not ready to move on yet, right? Because you're focusing on certain things. And that's, like, due to time. Like, I think time is a big thing that a lot of people take for granted, and it's something that's out of your control, right? You can't rush it. It's all about patience. Like, you can't rush yourself to heal faster just based on your circumstances. You could deal with it. You can force yourself to deal with it as best you can in a short amount of time. But to actually go through the healing process, you can't heal your heart on your own time. It's not up to you. You're on God's time. It's God's clock. All those things. So why haven't you let go?
I don't know. I mean, not that I don't know, but, like I mentioned in the beginning, like, you were my first real relationship. Like, all of high school or anything before I got to Dartmouth, like, everybody that knew me knew that I wasn't ever going to get really seriously involved with anyone.
Why was that?
Because I knew myself as a person, and I knew that whatever happened or whatever school I was going to end up going to, I was not going to stay in LA. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to stay in California, and I didn't want to become emotionally invested, nor did I want to hurt someone like that.
Yeah.
By saying, like, okay, even if this is happening or this is a thing, like, I'm sorry, it's just not going to be when I'm leaving. Like, this has been my plan. Like, was it? Even starting in middle school, a little bit before, when I had said, like, I'm going to leave California, I'm probably going to go across the country to go to college, people would laugh. People would laugh. They didn't think I was going to do it, like, until that happened. Like, I had family members that didn't think I was going to do it. So part of me felt really bad, because even if there were people that I had, like, a connection with or, like, ongoing conversations with, semi-involved, not really, I always knew I wasn't going to let it go any further, which is unfair to them, I know, but it wasn't going to happen. So this being my first relationship, and then just, like, the length of time and kind of all the growth that happened in there throughout that time is something that I'm still, one, like, going through, like, trying to see how much I did grow and in what respects and, like, why that happened. Or even all, like, the questions you would ask me, like, push me to really think about things. Like, why are you so uncomfortable? Or, like, why is this, like, challenging? Or, like, why is that normal? Like, you're not opening up to people, types of conversations. are still things that kind of apply to now. And again, like you said, like there is an animosity towards you. But it hurts to know that like somebody that I loved and still love like so much and I saw a future with, is not like in the near future, I guess, or something that like in letting go of that relationship, I had to also let go of what I thought the future was going to look like. So, and I think that's the harder part.
Gotcha. That's true. I think whenever you're in a long-term relationship, I think that the other person becomes part of you. Like, I was reading something the other day. It was like, you know, when somebody else starts using your slang, that's when you know, like, they really are integrated with you, right? And, like, there's a lot of times where you would say something, I'm like, damn, yeah, I said that. Like, for real, right? Like, that's my thing. So, like, that, those kind of things, and it's to, like, to separate. One, it takes a lot to make the decision to leave, right? On my side, I think the hardest part for me was kind of justifying it to myself. And there was, like, a lot of different things going in through my head, like, during the last couple of days while you were staying at my place, and I think everything just like the pros of what could happen in the future outweigh the cons, if that makes sense, with me making the decision to leave. In terms of like the individual growth that could possibly happen, and the fact that like I wasn't really in a place where I could support both us and myself. Like, I'm still not in a place where I can support myself. Not yet. Fingers crossed for 2016. By the time you're listening to this, I hope I'm at that place. But before, I wasn't there, and I think there was a lot of things in terms of pride, in terms of myself, and in terms of, I guess, like, the foundation that, like, how we kind of built things on. Because even when we first started, it was kind of like a shaky foundation, right? Mm-hmm. Because there was, like, you know, the summer before where you were with another dude, and then there was, like, just going in, it just seemed, like, a little shaky. And I don't know if I ever really let go of that in my head. And even if I did tell myself, it was like a subconscious lingering, and the fact that like things of like that nature were still lingering, I was like, nah, there's something wrong that with me that I got to figure out. If like something that bothers me shouldn't be bothering me this much. Mm-hmm. So like all those kind of things, I was like, man, I'm really not in a place where I can be in a relationship right now. And it's really crazy too, because I'll go out now, right? And I still won't go out crazy, because like there's another thing about like the relationship. So there was this whole issue, like I think the one argument we ever had, or like debate, like was about me, was about me dancing, right? I say dancing like it's some regular shit. No, I'm talking about
the moment looks like you're fucking someone with your clothes on.
But it was something that I really couldn't let go. And the more I think about that argument, I think two things. Like, I think one, I had a problem with it because this was the first time in my life where like I felt like I wasn't in control of a situation. Like, it was like my freedom being taken away. Like, I was like, damn, yo. But then you think about it, it's like, why would you? And then on the other end, I try to think about like why we're even having this conversation. Like, why would you even want to dance with somebody else, right? Why would you even want to put yourself in a situation? And in my head, I was like, it's just dancing. So it's like this back and forth thing in my head. And I was like, why am I? If it really meant so much to somebody else that I should stop, then I should just stop. And the fact that I came to that conclusion, I was like, man, my life isn't really my life anymore. It's really not about me anymore. It's about us, right? Yeah. Yeah, right. And I think I had to accept that. And I think back then,
I just wasn't. You were the one that would tell me that too.
Huh?
You were the one that would tell me that too. You're like, it's not just you.
Yeah, I'm a slick talker. But yeah, and I think that when I realized that, I just don't know if my conscience at that time was ready to accept it. And now when I go out, it's crazy, 'cause I don't even dance that much anymore. I was out the other day with my close friends from home, you know, Jamal and them. And, you know, we were out for one of our friends' birthdays. And these girls just dancing in front of us. And Jamal was like, yo, you should dance with her. She was like, nah, man, nah. Like, and then, yo, it's literally right there. It's in front of you. I was like, okay. And I danced for like a minute, and I was like, this is weird. Like, and then I just stopped. And now I'm like, damn, yo, I feel like I lost a piece of myself because of the sacrifice I made when I was in the relationship. But that's on me.
Yeah.
Right? That is completely on me. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that
yeah.
is...
Yeah, I've just realized how much the relationship has changed me, I guess, for the better in terms of, like, making good decisions. And like you, like, I'm not pressed to jump into another relationship as well. Like, because it's funny, my grandmother called me today, the one you met at graduation, and I was out in the city.
So
yeah, I was out in the city, and she was like, oh, yeah, are you out and about? I was like, yeah, I'm in the city. She's like, oh, you perusing with your girlfriend, huh? And I was like, nah, I'm just by myself, man. Like, I'm not doing anything. Oh, you're like, you're not talking to no girls? I was like, nah, I'm here. And then she's like, oh, you're not a Davey then, man. Like, she said that on the phone. I'm like, damn, yo. I was like, grandma, I'm just trying to be one of the good ones. She was like, then she was like, nah, take your time. But it's interesting because everybody expects me to jump into something else. Whether it's like me jumping into like another relationship, or just being close to another girl, or something like that, or accepting another woman into my life. I think people are eager because they can't justify it in their head why I'm not, and I don't understand. I get it, but I don't get it. It's like, because I think. A part of it is, a part of why I'm not choosing to do it is because I think with you, I've realized that the amount of effort and emotional investment it takes to get to know somebody that well, right? There has to be a serious, like, set of requirements that you have to meet before I'm willing to put in that kind of effort and, I guess, emotional investment in, because I'm not about to just waste my time, right? Like, I'm not about to just jump into something and it don't work out and I'm like, man, I did all this. Right. It's not like the money thing. It's not financial. It's the emotional investment, like knowing that you're going to get close to somebody again. You're going to get to know, I guess, how they tick, what works, their family, and all of those things that come with that. And I just don't have the time, the effort, or I'm not in the place in life to do that yet. And I think that's why I haven't jumped into anything serious like that, you know.
It's something I get asked all the time too, like, not even before graduation, things are happening, like, why are you not doing anything, like, you're not seeing anyone, like, you're not trying to come by certain spaces anymore. I just wasn't, or even now, like, if we do go out, we haven't even gone out that much, even around, like, regular, like, the small groups, I find myself, like, not even interested in having, like, certain conversations sometimes. So I'm like, no, like, I can, like, talk to someone, kind of. But unless, like, again, it would take so much to explain, like, why I'm in this, like, space, mental space that I'm in.
What do you mean? What do you mean by that mental space that you're in? Like, explain why you're single right now?
Well,
or
yes and no, but just, like, that, like, me, why I've chosen to, like, not be intimate with another person.
Right.
Like, emotionally or physically. And, again, that's something that I have chosen, like, not to do, because even with that, I feel like there would be the emotional attachment and so much more that comes with it that I don't want to do with just any random person.
Mm-hmm.
For myself. So again, like, even the going out and, like, dancing with someone, I don't really want someone that close to me. Unless I really know you, kind of. Not interested.
Which is weird, 'cause we're not even in that school environment where you have, like, close friends that you might be able to do that.
Yeah, no.
Right, yeah. I hear that.
No, I'm actively, like, chosen not to, and it just, I'll see it every now and then, I'm like, okay, that's cool, or half the time I'll be like, it'd be really nice to have someone to dance with them, like, well, there are people, but I'm choosing not to.
Yeah. And it's also a certain kind of dancing, you can dance with anybody.
Yeah.
Like, Like, I still be if I'm with my close friends, like my close girlfriends, like, yeah, I'll dance with them. But then they try to get me to dance with some other girl, and I'm like, I'm really not about that right now. Like, I'm really trying to chill, and people for their life just don't get it. They're like, you can dance though. I'm like, yeah, I know. You don't get it. Like, you understand. But but that is not to make me seem like the most innocent dude in the world. I definitely be, when I get turned up, I'm dancing all night. Like, but I'm still, I don't necessarily mean I'm going home with somebody at the end of the night, right? I still know that I'm asleep by myself. Like, I might make it back to my apartment or not. And it's definitely not that the opportunity hasn't presented itself. Like, but like Jess said, I still don't think it's like the level of what comes after it. Like, I've never been the type of dude that does like one night stands. I think there's been one girl in my life that like, and like that was like my freshman year in college. One girl, like, where it's like one time, I never spoke to her again. But it was also one of those things where, like, I was like, okay, I've done this once. I'm really not about this life. Like, yeah, I'm not about that life. So if we gonna do something, we gonna, like, it's a longevity thing, right? So yeah, there was that. Is there anything that you wish you knew before?
Wish I knew before? I think it was just, or like, now hearing you say this thing, there's something like, you saying that, I mean, you haven't been with someone this summer before, or something that you hadn't let go of, stuff like, a lot of times in the past, like, year or something, I would always go back to, like, you were the one that brought up, like, meeting family, or like, how that one happened. Or, like, the future situation, like, the I'm going to marry you one day comments and all that stuff, and, like, how all that stuff came about. Mm-hmm. I think in the end, I was really, really hurt and angry at you at times, because I went in my head and be like, you were the one that brought all this up, and then in the end, you're the one that decided to, like...
It's very interesting you say that. You say it because me and Jonathan's one of my best friends, and we had this conversation once because my friend John has also been in multiple long-term relationships. And we talked about, like, you know, we had this conversation once when he was about to end one thing. He was like, man, you know, I feel so bad because, you know, sometimes I say these things like, you know, I want to marry her one day and I'm going to propose and all these things. And it's not... We don't say that because we don't believe in it. I think my closest friends, and I think my closest family, we believe in the concept of love so much that, like, we love, right? It's every time we say it, I think that there's the purest of intentions. Like, it's real. Like, I think I mean it. Because in that moment, like, in that moment and beyond, it's like, well, in my head, I wouldn't ever go out with somebody if there ever wasn't a potential of, like, marriage. Like, because in my head, it's like, just wasting time.
Yeah.
I'm not taking you out all the time and spending so much time with you just to get to know you for the sake of getting to know you. I could do that for free. Like, we can go chill and watch Netflix for real and just watch Netflix. I can get to know you just by watching the movie, right? But if I'm really emotionally invested in you and I'm your boyfriend, I'm putting it on all this time, like, I think my heart just gets super attached. And I think that it's so... I think sometimes when people say that, like... or, like, people recite that back to me, it's like, you know, oh, you were the first person to, like, say this. It's like, yeah, I meant it at the time. And but you never really know how somebody's heart progresses, which is scary. It's terrifying because of this. Like, I remember reading something on Tumblr. Shout out to Tumblr for all things of everything. You need some knowledge, some random knowledge, shout out to Tumblr. But there was this one thing that stuck with me. That I read, I think within the past year or maybe before. Anyway, it was like somebody wrote, I find it really terrifying. Like, it's really fucking terrifying that one day the person that you love can just turn around to you, like, after like maybe 20 years and realize that they don't love you anymore. And that is the most terrifying thing in the world, because how the fuck do you deal with that? Right? Like, how do you deal with that kind of thing? And you know, I don't want to say like we were just together for 2 years. 2 years is a long time, especially when you're only 20 years old, 22 years old. Like, it's a long time. It's a long time to be with somebody. And I think it's scary to know, like, and I think that's also a weird thing that I realized too. If I'm thinking like this after 2 years, right? And I think this is what really, really got me to pull the trigger on it too. It was like, I really need to work on this before I invest any more time and just to prolong this decision. Because then it might hurt more because more time is invested in it. And I don't want to keep hiding these feelings back because of that, right? But it's also terrifying that somebody can think that or wake up one day and just think that. But it's I say wake up one day and, like, you know, you just you turn it on, like, damn, like, it's over. You flip the switch, but it's not. It's a buildup. It's a transition. And if it's not addressed, I think it's something that's very, very detrimental to any type of relationship. And I think the more you try to avoid it, the harder it's going to be to get over it in the long run. But yeah, it's something like I want to say sorry for, but I'm not sorry for saying those things because I meant it, right? But like in my heart at the time was in that mode of future. I always think about the future. I live in the present, but I'm thinking about the future. Like, if there's no future, then there's no point. Happy New Year, Grub fam. Thank you all for listening again. And to my longtime listeners, you know this is not how we usually end the show. And that's because this isn't the end. So I have a poll up on Facebook and Twitter. You can go ahead and vote if you want part two next week or the week after that. That's going to set the pace for the podcast moving forward. We can either do this thing weekly or bi-weekly. I'm always down to put in the work if you guys are down to listen. So yeah, let me know what you think. The Facebook page is facebook.com/grubcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Kyle and Davy. That's KyleNDavy. And if you don't have Facebook and Twitter, you can always hit me up in an email. It's grubcast@gmail.com. Leave a comment on the SoundCloud page at soundcloud.com/thegrubcast. The conversation only gets deeper. And I guarantee if you connected with part one, you're definitely going to enjoy part two even more. So if you want to hear more about the vulnerable experience, you're definitely tuned in to the right podcast. And with that said, y'all, happiness and prosperity to you all. Much love. And as always, keep eating.